We'll bite into the December 5th edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the cold recesses of Ackley, Iowa, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, with this Rain Report. Did you miss our two-part retrospective about WLS Radio? You'll find them on the Rain Archive page. While you're on the Rain website, why not add the Rain Report to your podcast list so you won't miss such programming in the future? Go to therainreport.com and check it out. This is one of those rare Rain Reports that gets a little technical, but never fear, ye of little digital inclination. Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, reports that he isn't either. Yipe. Nevertheless, this week we'll take a peek at WinMore, WinLink Messages over Radio, software that will provide less costly access to digital processing messages on the HF ham bands, especially during natural and man-made emergencies. The ham behind WinMore is Rick Muthing, KN6KB. Hap caught up with Rick at the Digital Communication Conference held earlier this fall in suburban Chicago.
Well, it's primarily an HF mode that's designed to work with the sound card, so it's sort of a low cost of entry, and that's one of the main, I'll say, complaints about Pactor 2 and 3 is it's got a relatively high barrier of entry cost. And it's designed also to send messages. This is not a keyboard mode or a voice mode or anything like that. It's designed to send messages, which could be text or data or attachments or whatever you want.
What did you feel was lacking that motivated you to develop WinMore?
I'm one of the original developers of WinLink, along with Vic Poor and a number of other people. WinLink was developed as a messaging system for both HF and now VHF-UHF. The HF, we've always used Pactor 1 for HF, and over the last 10 years or so, Pactor 2 and 3, which is very high performance. It's actually the best HF mode available in terms of digital transmission. The problem is that, especially with the cost of the dollar, the trading point of the dollar now, and the fact that the Pactor 2 and 3 box is made in Germany, tends to run $1,000 to $1,500 now. So that sort of blocks the use of it to a lot of hams, especially those in emergency applications, where cost is an issue and the equipment's not always in use, so it's hard to justify the cost. So that's the main motivation. People would say, we can get a used box like a CAM or a PK-232 off of eBay for maybe $200, but its performance is pretty poor. So what we'd really like is sort of a sound card solution. We want to get close to the Pactor 2 and 3 performance levels.
How does it work?
It basically uses the same sound card hardware as most sound card modes do. In other words, an interface to the radio, a single sideband radio, and then a computer, which has to be a relatively modern computer, processing the sound card data, controls the modulation and demodulation, error correction, packing the data bits, and so on. So from an application's point of view, it looks just like a TNC, or terminal node controller. And in fact, we've used the term virtual TNC because from the application's point of view, it looks like a hardware TNC even though it's all done with software.
What's your throughput like?
Throughput's currently approaching Pactor 3. There's three bandwidth modes. There's a 200 hertz mode, a 500 hertz bandwidth mode, and a 2 kilohertz mode. So in the widest mode, it approaches Pactor 3, and that's in the neighborhood of 4 to 10 kilobytes per minute.
So pretty slow.
For HF, that's about as fast as we can go because you're dealing with a narrow band channel, and you're also dealing with a very nasty propagation. HF is, we're transmitting signals typically 5 to 10 dB above the noise if we're lucky, lots of fading, multipath interference, and so on. The rule of thumb is we sort of send it, and Pactor does this too, if you can get 1 bit per second per hertz of bandwidth, you're doing pretty darn good. Typically, it's about half of that.
Error correction is used to the max.
Yes. In fact, WinMore uses two redundant levels of Reed-Solomon encoding. The first pass is a weak pass, so it sends a relatively weak RS encoding, forward error correction. If that passes, then you're done. If it fails, it follows with a massive redundant Reed-Solomon encoding, and that will get through maybe 95% of the time. And if that fails, then you have to repeat that cycle.
The more bulletproof error correction results in a lot less throughput?
Not that much as you'd think. The first pass coding is about 80% code rate, so that means only 20% of your total bandwidth is used for the code. The second pass is about 40%. That says that 60% is used for error correction code. So if you have a decent channel, decent is maybe 10 dB above the noise level, most of the time you can get by with probably a 25 to 30% loss of efficiency. So you're transmitting at like 70% of the theoretical efficiency, which is pretty good.
Are there certain HF bands that lend themselves better for this type of transmission?
It all depends on the range that you're talking about. For example, one mode that's very useful in certain applications, especially emergency applications, is NVIS propagation, near vertical incident skywave. That allows you to send using relatively low frequencies like 80 meters or 40 meters, relatively short distances for HF, say in the range of 100 to 300 or 400 miles. And that's a very useful distance and works well in emergency communications. The problem is that the propagation mode for NVIS is pretty poor. And so you need a very strong error correction and very robust modulation scheme. So one of the modes of WinMore is something that allows you to do that. One of the modes is very robust and it will handle that NVIS kind of transmission.
Obviously, cellular text messaging is far faster. But I imagine the primary use of WinMore and the other data transmission types is for emergency communications.
Yes, but it's not just text. First of all, you got to remember that we're transmitting pure binary, and text messaging is always compressed in the WinLink system, for example. So you get at least a 2-to-1 compression. For example, Pactor 3 can transmit on the neighborhood of 10 kilobytes per minute of text. And also of images. So you can transmit a fairly good JPEG image in about 2 or 3 minutes. You can transmit a Excel spreadsheet in about a minute and a half, something like that. So most of the applications really involve some combination of text and data in the form of images or spreadsheets or things of that nature.
Is your WinMore program open source?
Not yet. We're thinking about how we're going to deliver that mode, and there's a number of models we're looking at. One would be open source. The other would be a distribution through a nonprofit, which we've set up, a 501c3 corporation. That has some potential advantages too, as a way of distributing it well, controlling it, making sure it's a nonprofit kind of situation, and yet still providing some sort of revenue stream for the ongoing involvement and maintenance and so on of the system. So that's something we're looking at, but at the present time, it hasn't been released yet. We're still in the early stages of the testing.
Do you have a target date?
I think we're going to plan to shoot for a beta release sometime around 3 to 4 months from now. And that would be where we actually put code out in front of users and they can actually connect to the WinLink system, send and receive messages, emails, and so on. That requires integrating the WinMore virtual TNC, which I mentioned, into things like the user client program, which is currently being used as PacLink MP, and to the server programs that the WinLink system uses called RMS servers. We have to write the drivers for those two products, but that's a pretty straightforward effort.
You're listening to Rick Muthing, KN6KB, the ham behind WinMore, WinLink Messages over Radio, software that will provide less costly access to data processing of messages on the HF ham bands, especially during natural and man-made emergencies. Hap Holly will conclude his interview with Rick in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, heard at various times, Saturdays during the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter, which airs in magnificent amplitude modulation beginning at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time from Wentzville, Missouri on 1860 kilohertz. This long-time program service can be heard from the Rockies to the Eastern Seaboard from sundown to the wee hours of Sunday morning on 1860 kilohertz, thanks to Vern Jackson, WA0RCR. Blow the dust off that old general coverage receiver you haven't plugged in for years and tune in to 1860 kHz to this excellent bulletin service, the only one of its kind in amateur radio. Incidentally, Hap and his wife Stephanie, KA9WKD, spent a most pleasant Thanksgiving with Vern, WA0RCR, and his wife Dottie, KG0VN. Unfortunately, Hap did not crank up his Kenwood THF-6A handheld while down there. We'll be right back. This is the RAIN Report.
What is the most difficult challenge that faces you as a developer of this type of format?
You run out of processing speed and processing hardware. And let me explain that. We've talked some about Pactor 2 and 3, and that's equipment built by SCS. It's a well-built piece of equipment. It's good people and well done technically. But they have their own hardware, very accurate crystal oscillators, thermal tracking, and so on. And they all have a very high-speed DSP, much higher than you would get in a typical PC. So those resources, when you get down into the details of the DSP processing, all sort of come to bear. Once you switch to sort of a standard sound card, which has a wide range of quality, some of which is sort of junk out there, unfortunately, and a typical PC like a 1,000 megahertz Pentium or something, you have maybe an order of magnitude less horsepower behind you. So you've got to do sort of the same kind of job with 10 times less horsepower. And that's a challenge. So there's a lot of work in trying to keep that so the overhead doesn't get to be a very large percentage.
What kind of a sound card do you recommend?
One of the things we've looked at is, and it seems to work out very well, with these what I'd call the integrated USB sound card and interface. Basically, there's about two or three manufacturers that I'm aware of. Signalink USB is one that we're using. It plugs into the side of the computer as a USB port. It has the sound card, but it also has the audio interfacing, the keying of the transmitter, the cabling to the radio, and so on. And all that's part of built in. So you don't end up with sort of a mix and match kind of combination. One of the things that in sort of trying to set up the concept of Winmore was we're looking at installing this in an EOC or an emergency applications. And one of the demands said it's got to be pretty much plug and play. Experimenting is fine, but not when we're talking about emergency communications. We want to be able to plug it in, have a standard interface, hook it to the radio, and not have to make all kinds of cables and adapters and so on. So that's one of the sort of the concepts. The software really doesn't distinguish or prohibit using some other sound card or the built-in sound card for the computer, but I really wouldn't recommend that because that just opens up a whole other can of worms in terms of the performance issues.
So how much hardware is there involved in the actual product itself?
It's very minimal. It's just the audio isolation, so you don't get noise introduced from the computer to the transceiver. And usually that's done on most sound cards with relatively high-quality audio transformers. And the only other requirement is to key the transmitter. Most sound cards have a mechanism of doing that, but I've established the protocol in Winmore so that the leader or the preamble to the protocol is long enough so that we'll key the vox on almost any single sideband radio. So if you don't even have a keying mechanism, you can set the radio for vox keying and it'll automatically transmit. Okay. Even though you lose the very first part of the transmission, it doesn't hurt it.
That just means you error correct and send more often.
Well, that part is you're not even into the data yet. That's the tuning. Wow. One of the challenges in building high frequency detection is not in the transmit side. The transmit's very straightforward. You know what data you're going to send, you know what modulation you're going to send, you do the DSP work and you create a WAV file and you play it and that's it. The trick is on the receive side because first of all, the data is coming in, the radio is off tune. No matter how good the radio is, it's off tune. To receive PSK modulation, for example, you have to be within 1 hertz, which is not practical. So what that says is the software has to tune the radio instantly. When I say instantly, within about 100 milliseconds. That's tough. So one of the tricks is as soon as you start the transmission with what is called a little preamble or leader, and that has a special sort of waveform shape, and that allows you to do the tuning in the DSP. And that took a long time to work on. That was probably, of the total effort of the project, I'd say that was about a third, just getting the leader and the tuning mechanism to work. So what happens in Winmore is the receiver or the transmitter can be as much as 200 hertz off frequency, which almost any single sideband radio today can do. And it will instantly tune that to the right frequency within a tenth of a hertz to start the actual recording and demodulation of the data. You don't actually tune the receiver. Of course, the receiver just sits still. You just shift the DSP processing so that now that the audio signal coming in, which was varying all over the place, is now exactly at a known frequency, and that allows you to demodulate it.
And that's all done within the software.
Right. The whole idea, and part of this plug-and-play, is that the user doesn't have anything to set up. He has to establish his call sign, of course, and things of that nature, what sound card he's using, the name of the sound card, and so on. But the tuning is all done by the software. In other words, the software says, okay, we're going to communicate with this station, and we know he's at this frequency, so we'll program the radio to that. Now, it might be 100 hertz off or even more, but that's okay. The software instantly corrects for that, and if he is 100 hertz off, it's going to retune the radio, not physically tune the radio, but shift the DSP processing. So now the signal is exactly on frequency. And once it gets down to about a tenth of a hertz, then there's no error introduced at all by the offset.
Where can I find more information about your Winmore software?
Currently, I have the paper that's here at DCC and the presentation on the winlink.org website. So If someone goes to www.winlink.org, they can download those two items right there.
That was Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with Rick Muthing, KN6KB, the ham behind WinMore, WinLink Messages over Radio, software that will provide less costly access to the digital processing of messages on the HF ham bands, especially during natural and man-made emergencies. Shortly before we went to press, Rick had sent out an update about WinMore, which states in part, "We have begun limited over-the-air testing on 10.140 megahertz USB and on 18.107 megahertz USB between K4 CJX VE1 YZ KN6 KB and W5 SMM. This is currently limited to 1K and 10K block exchanges of random binary files with end-to-end verification. According to Rick, WinMore beta testing may begin as early as February 2009. You'll find Rick's email address and a link to his website on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9 SEQ. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.